All right, 2 Kings chapter 10 tonight. Tonight we're going to see Jehu, who's now become king over Israel, and we're going to see the zeal that he has for the Lord, somewhat. And I think a lot of people have zeal. They have zeal for pleasure. They may have zeal for their work. They may have zeal for money. They may have zeal for a lot of things in life. And as we get into 2 Kings here, we're going to see the zeal that Jehu did have for doing the Lord's work. And he was doing the Lord's work. So as we get into it, let's take a look at the zeal that he had. And we start in verse 1. It says, Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. And Jehu wrote and sent a letter to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders of those who reared Ahab's sons. So he had 70 sons. As some commentators say, it may not necessarily be sons. It could be sons, fathers, grandfathers, and such. It may not necessarily be sons. But it says he had 70 sons. It says, now as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, and you have chariots and horses and fortified cities also and weapons, choose the best qualified of your master's son. Let him on his father's throne and fight for your master's house. So he's basically telling him, go ahead and set up your government. Set up what you need there because I'm coming. And I'm going to come and I'm going to fight and I'm going to take over this area as well. So Jehu is ready for a fight. And he's telling them to get ready. It says, but they were exceedingly afraid and said, look, two kings could not stand up to him. How then can we stand? And if we remember reading, Ahaziah and Joram both died by his hand. So they've gotten word that this has happened already, that he's killed two kings. What are we going to do? We're caretakers. You know, we cannot stand to him. And he who was in charge of the house and he who was in charge of the city, the elders also and those who reared the son sent to Jehu saying, we are your servants. We will do all you tell us, but we will not make anyone king. Do what is good in your sight. So they're basically bowing the knee to Jehu. They knew what was going to come if they didn't. It says, if you are for me, and will then he wrote a second letter to them saying, if you are for me and will obey my voice, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, and come to me at Jezreel by this time tomorrow. Now the king's sons, 70 persons were with the great men of the city who were rearing them. So it was when the letter came to them that they took the king's sons and slaughtered 70 persons, put their heads in baskets and sent them to him at Jezreel. Like baskets of grapes, just taking their heads to the city. It says, then the messenger came and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, lay them in the two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning. Now, this was something that was done at this time, where they would take the enemy's heads or bodies or whatever, maybe line them along a road, put them in the entrance of the main cities as a deterrent to where if you want to rebel against me as a king, you see what's going to happen. They were not playing any games. That's like putting the heads of our enemies on Interstate 10 as you enter Lafayette. I think that would deter people from maybe committing crimes and doing these things. You coming to our town doing this, this is what's going to happen to you. We don't do that anymore. I guess we're a little more civilized, but take that for what it's worth. Then it said, the messenger came and told him, saying, they have brought the heads of the king's sons. And he said, lay them in two heaps at the entrance of the gate until morning. So it was in the morning that he went out and stood and said to all the people, you are righteous indeed. I have conspired against my master and killed him. But who killed these? So they can't sit there and point the finger at Jehu saying, oh, well, you killed our master. They also participated in this work of God, killing off those of Ahab. He's saying, yes, I did kill the master. I did kill Joram. But you participated as well by killing his sons. So Here we go. And it says, "Now and know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the work of the earth." Let me repeat. "Now, know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab. For the Lord has done what he spoke by his servant Elijah." And the Lord is still speaking today. And the Lord has spoken. And everything that he is speaking has come to pass. And it will continue to come to pass. This is just not a small segment of scripture saying that, hey, whatever the Lord has done by Elijah's mouth is going to come to pass. But every bit of his word is going to come to pass. And I think we need to find that to be a comforting statement. Because there's a lot said in his word that is comforting to us. A lot of promises are put in to those who believe. And that should bring lots of comfort to us. The promise of living with him for eternity. The promise of his protection. The promise of his forgiveness should all bring comfort to the believer's heart. And this is just another segment of scripture showing us that God's word is true and it does not return void. Everything he says is true. It says, Know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord has done what he spoke by his servant Elijah. Amen. So Jehu killed all who remained in the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his close acquaintances and his priests, until he left him none remaining. Now Jehu may have went a little overboard in his zealousness to do the Lord's work, because he's killing great men, he's killing the priests, he's killing anyone who had to do with Ahab. Now he was supposed to go out and kill the descendants of Ahab, but he seems to have gone a little above and beyond maybe in this particular portion of scripture. So as we move on to verse 12, it says, "And he arose and departed and went to Samaria on the way at Beth-Eked of the shepherds. Jehu met with the brothers of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, 'Who are you?' So they answered, 'We are the brothers of Ahaziah. We have come down to greet the sons of the king and the sons of the queen's mother.' And he said, 'Take them alive.' So they took them alive and killed them at the well of Beth-Eked, 40 men, and he left none of them." So once again, it's like the Lord is delivering Ahab's family into his hands. He runs into these guys who are brothers of Ahaziah. And he takes care of them too, because you remember Ahaziah was related to Ahab and Jezebel because of the daughter. So he's continuing on with the mission to do this. And I look at Jehu, and he is, at this point in time, seems to be wholeheartedly for the mission of God. His heart is completely for the Lord in doing his will. We'll see later in other areas it may not have been. But it is our heart to full and wanting to do the full will of God that he has for us. Roy mentioned about wanting to be more of a witness to our co-workers or even families. Are we acting wholeheartedly and even accomplishing that? Or do we get timid and do we get scared to even mention the name of God or Jesus in the workplace? Or mention it to a family member who may be of a different denomination or religion, or maybe just don't care about God at all, but we get timid when it comes to that. And we're not wholehearted in doing the will of God. But that's not what the God has for us. God wants to give us the strength. He wants to give us the ability and to be able to go and be a witness for him. He calls us to be a witness wherever we're at, whether we're, he said, to be a witness in Jerusalem and to Samaria and to all the earth. And that's what we have to do. And we're going to start in Jerusalem. We're going to start where we live and be a witness here and have that boldness to go before our workmates and go before our families and share the gospel with them. That's what we're here to do. We're here to share the gospel, to share the good news of the Lord with those who are around us. And he'll give us the boldness if we just step out in faith and say, "Okay, Lord, I'm really nervous. I'm shaking in my boots, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to witness to Joe Blow. That's who I'm going to witness to today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit have his way." And just step out in faith and do that. We talk about the lepers a couple sermons back, where they had to step out. Hey, if we stay here, we're going to die, but if we go into to the camp, we may live. They stepped out in faith. And we need to take that example from them and take the example from Jehu, how he is wholeheartedly in doing God's mission. And we need to step out and do the same, as he did as well. And it goes on in verse 15. It says, "Now when he departed from there, he met with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he greeted him and said to him, 'Is your heart right as my heart is towards your heart?'" So he's asking him, "Hey, are we okay? Are we cool? Are we all right? We're good with each other? Is that where we're at?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is." So Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot. Then he said, Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they had him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed them according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. So we see this character here, Jehonadab. They're saying that he was a very righteous man. He had a lot of zeal himself for the Lord. You could read some about him in Jeremiah 35. But he said he was a very righteous man and known in the area. And the men that follow him, they didn't drink any wine. They wanted to follow the ways of the Lord. And he was a very blessed and righteous man. And I look at this, at Jehu taking his hand. Now, it looks like they may have had a relationship for a little while, known each other throughout the years. And I look at Jehu as taking this maybe as a political move even. I'm going here with the nation of Israel. I'm doing the Lord's work. Let me make sure I have someone who is of the Lord on my side as well, to show face that, hey, look, I'm with Jehonadab. You know he's a man of God. He's with me. So we're all right. We're doing the will of God. So maybe it was a political move. Maybe it wasn't. But anyhow, they're teaming up together at this moment. And then he goes on to say, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Now we can look at this in a couple ways. Often we may want to show people the zeal we have for the Lord because we want them to come to the Lord too. We want to see that, hey, this is a good thing. Then we can also show our zeal for the Lord by bragging about what we do spiritually, when we have no room to brag about anything, unless we brag about the Lord himself. So we see Jehu telling him, hey, come with me. I'm going to show you how much zeal I have for the Lord. And I'm pretty sure, you know, he's killing all these people of Ahab. He's actually doing the work of God. And I bet he just feels like, you know, he's on a spiritual high right now. I'm doing the work of God. I know God is blessing this. This is what he wants done. He's feeling really good about it. And he's going to say, come see my zeal. Come see what I'm doing for the Lord. And he knows that this is a righteous man. He knows that this is a man of God. And he wants to just show him, hey, look, I'm doing some good things for the Lord as well, just like you've been doing. So he goes on to do it. But we do have to be careful and not get a spiritual pride in us. Look what I'm doing for the Lord. I got 5 people saved this week. No, you didn't get 5 people saved this week. The Lord got 5 people saved this week. But we want to take ownership of that. And we shouldn't. We need to watch. The zeal is great and the zeal is wonderful, to have zeal for the Lord. But let's not let that zeal turn into pride. Amen. And Jehu is very full of zeal right now. It almost saddens me, though, sometimes when I think about zeal in Christians, in the church. We see these other religions, Islam. We see, even you could say, Mormon and Jehovah Witness, and they have such a zeal. They're going door to door, knocking on people's doors to get them to come and figure out who their Jesus is, which is not the real Jesus anyway. We have Islam, who is really willing to die for their religion, which I hope each and every one of us are willing to die, but not commit suicide to do so. But it saddens me to see the zeal that these other religions have, and us as Christians is living such a mediocre life and not having that zeal for the Lord like we should. And I think it's hard here in the U.S. We have so much comfort, and we have so much ease here. It's so easy to wake up on a Sunday morning, come sit here in our chairs and listen to a great message preached, and then be done with it for the rest of the week and have no zeal. It's almost like we come and get a recharge and then we take on the rest of the week. But you can't eat just one time a day, once a week, right? We got to eat more than that. We got to eat every day. We got to eat His Word every day, have a zeal and a passion for His Word and who He is every day. And a lot of, there was a major from Egypt back in 2003. I had some training at Fort Belvoir, Virginia. And he was over there, and he had invited myself and the other guy that was in the training over to have tea in this hotel room. So we went over to have tea and what have you. Me and him had some pretty good discussions on faith and everything else. He was a fairly easy guy to talk to about that. But it was time for him to have his prayer. And he didn't care that we were in the room. He stopped what he was doing. He got there and did his prayer. How many of us would stop to do something for the Lord? Or would we be too embarrassed again to do it? Would we have fear that would creep in? Or will we continue to have that zeal and do it regardless of what other people are thinking? And I'm preaching to myself on this because I have those moments too, where I'll get nervous or I get afraid because of the crowd I'm in to represent who I am and who Christ says I am. And these other religions, it saddens me to see how much zeal they have, but how much lack of zeal the church really has, especially here in America. I can't speak on other countries because I haven't seen many Christians from other countries. But here in America, we lack that zeal. We've gotten too cozy, too comfortable in our pews, that the zeal is kind of gone. We need to find that zeal, and we need to bring that zeal back. And we continue on in verse 18, and his zeal continues. It says, "Then Jehu gathered all the people together and said to them, 'Ahab served Baal a little. Jehu would serve him much.'" So, well, hold on, you're doing all this work for the Lord, but now you're going to say you want to serve Baal a lot? What is he talking about here? It doesn't match up with what's been happening. It says, "Now therefore call to me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants, and all his priests. Let no one be missing, for I have great sacrifice for Baal. Whoever is missing shall not live." But Jehu acted deceptively with the intent of destroying the worshipers of Baal. So once again, he's deceiving them, but he's wanting to do the work of the Lord as well. And Jehu said, "Proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal." So they proclaimed it. Then Jehu sent throughout all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left who did not come. So they came into the temple of Baal, and the temple of Baal was full from one end to the other. I would like Wednesday night to be full from one end to the other. Maybe in the future. We'll see. And he said to the one in charge of the wardrobe, "Bring out vestments for all the worshipers of Baal." So he brought out vestments for them. Then Jehu and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, went into the temple of Baal and said to the worshipers of Baal, "Search and see that no servant of the Lord are here with you, but only the worshipers of Baal." So we see him setting them up. He's getting the worshipers of Baal really pumped up, like, wow, we got a king that really wants to serve this God. And they're getting into it right now. But we're going to see in a minute what all this intent was about. It goes on in verse 24. It says, "So they went in to offer sacrifice and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had appointed for himself 80 men on the outside and had said, 'If any of them whom I have brought into your hands escape, whoever lets him escape, it shall be his life for the life of the other.'" So not only is he about to do something to the worshipers of Baal, but if his 80 men don't fulfill their mission, they're going to die as well. So that's a little added incentive to make sure you do your duty. And then it goes on. Where was I at? Here we go. It says, "Now it happened, as soon as he had made an end of offering, the burnt offering, that Jehu said to the guards and to the captains, 'Go in and kill them.'" So he actually went through with the whole sacrifice. He made this a genuine looking thing, like he was pulling the wool over their eyes. And he even went through with the whole worship, the whole sacrifice and everything. And he told them to go in and kill them. Let no one come out. And they killed them with the edge of the sword. Then the guards and the officers threw them out and went into the inner room of the temple of Baal. And they brought the sacred pillars out of the temple of Baal and burned them. Then they broke down the sacred pillar of Baal and tore down the temple of Baal and made it into a refuge dump to this day. I like the way the ESV says it. It says made it into a latrine. Basically, it was a big bathroom. That's what it was that they turned this temple into. And that's about what false gods equal up to. So that's what we see here. So he did a good job of getting these people to think that they were really going to worship and sacrifice to Baal. And I guess maybe these worshipers, I know they knew that he was going around killing the families of Ahab. Maybe they thought he was doing that because he's even more of a worshiper. Because he said, I'm going to worship him even more than what Ahab did. And he pulled that wool over their eyes. But it was a good thing in the end. He did end the worship of Baal. And in his eyes, in his mind, he's doing the work of the Lord. He really is. But in the next verse, in the very first word, it says, however. So he's doing all these great things, full of zeal. He's thinking, man, he's on cloud nine right now, doing the Lord's work. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, that is, from the golden calves that were in Bethel and Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my sight, and have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, God of Israel, with all his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. So we see him doing all this great work, all this stuff that the Lord has, and the Lord even says that he was going to bless him. He was going to let the throne sit in his family for four generations. So he did recognize that, hey, you did do a good work for me. And because of that, I'm going to bless you with four generations of kings coming from you. But he still was not worshiping the Lord according to his statutes and his ways. Because if you remember, Jeroboam put up these golden calves in Bethel and Dan for to say, you don't have to go down to Jerusalem. You don't have to go there to worship. We have representative of gods here. We have the golden calves representing God here. You don't have to go down there, which was false. This was not worshiping the true and living God. This was not what God had commanded Israel to do. He had commanded them to go down to the temple, go down and worship him there. He did not tell them to go worship the golden calves. And Jehu was following in those footsteps. Sure, he didn't worship these false gods of Baal. He was worshiping a false image of who God was, a false narrative on who God was, and worshiping these calves in these areas. So at one point, he seemed to be following the Lord wholeheartedly, but it says, however, and I don't ever want to be a however. I don't want a however to ever be in my story. I want it to be saying that he was a man of God, and he did everything he could to walk in the ways of the Lord. I don't want the however in my life. And how many people we may know that are believers have howevers in their lives. They were going so strong for the Lord, however, they did this. And I pray the Lord keeps us from any of that, from ever having to be a however. That he keeps us strong in our walk. And though we may fall, he'll pick us back up and we'll get back up and we'll keep moving in his direction, in his will, in his way. I don't ever want to be a however. And it goes on, it says, verse 32, it says, in those days the Lord began to cut off ports of Israel, and Hazael conquered them in all the territory of Israel. So we see because he was a however, and he started going back into this false worship of God, the Lord started slowly taking things back from Israel again. I think this was a turning point. If he wouldn't have been a however and would have turned straight to the Lord, Israel would have had a great path ahead of him. But because he was not wholehearted now for the Lord was going to start taking things back. And he took over the territories from the Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, Gad, Reuben, and Manasseh, from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, including Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu, all that he did, and all his might, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Jehu rested with his father, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, reigned in his place. In the period that Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. So he had a decent reign. He reigned quite a bit. And according to the word of the Lord, he would have four generations of people who would reign after him. But we look at this in you know, he didn't want to follow the Lord totally. He had the zeal at first to follow him. And we look at this, this could be a terrible warning. A terrible warning this story can be of this man, of him not being wholehearted to the Lord and not following him. I don't want any of us to be at that point. I can't reiterate that enough. I want us to all be wholehearted for the Lord. And granted, we live in a fallen state, and I know we can't all really be wholehearted for the Lord. There's moments we're going to fail. But through the strength of the Lord, he can pull us through any of that. Through the Lord's strength, we can be at the end. He can say, you know what, you were wholehearted for me. Because you continue to follow even when you fail. You continued to want to be my son, my daughter. You continue to want to walk in my ways, even though you may have failed at times. So I don't want our story to end up like Jehu did. So that's my prayer for us tonight as we close, is that we continue wholeheartedly for the Lord and that we can find that zeal. You know, they say zeal, another word for that is zealot, someone who is fanatical and crazy for the Lord or in whatever they have zeal for. I want us to be zealots for the Lord. I want us to be radical for the Lord, not caring what this world says. And I'll leave you with this one story. This morning, Jade was talking to me and my wife, and she was talking about her friend, well, used to be friend, they're not friends anymore, you know, didn't want to be her friend for whatever reasons. I told her, I says, you can't worry about what other people are thinking about you. You can only be who you are, and you can only be a witness that God gives you. If they don't like you, we pray for them. If they do like you, we pray for them. You can't worry about what this world thinks about you in your walk with God. You can't worry about what the media is saying about us as Christians. I want to be crazy. I want to be radical. I want to be a zealot for the Lord. And I hope y'all do too. Amen. Father, we come to you tonight and we just lift this word up to you, Father. And we just pray for that zeal, Father God, to have for you, Father. Let us have a zeal for you, Lord, that is unquenchable. And just on fire for you, Father. And let us be bold as lions in our workplaces and in our families to step out and be a witness for you and not to be afraid, because you didn't give us the spirit of fear, Father. But let us be bold. Let us have your strength and your power, Father God, to live our everyday lives as a witness for you, Lord, and let that zeal show through, Father. We thank you for this word tonight. We thank you for those gathered here tonight, and we ask for your traveling mercies as we leave, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.